I believe spirituality is going to exist, but African spirituality will be called something else, because the integration of the globe would have reached an all-time high. It's going to be far advanced. That when you say African spirituality, you would be referring to something historical and not necessarily a present reality.
There are literally thousands of religions and spiritual beliefs around the world. Some of them are very similar in how they function, while others are drastically different. The one belief that you are most familiar with, probably, is the one where it is believed that all created things in the world have a spiritual consciousness. This includes everything from animals to plants, but also natural phenomena like rivers and mountains and other geographical locations. Above all, it is believed that a person also has a spiritual essence within them, which transcends their physical body, especially when they die. This belief has no founder, it has no sacred text, and it is intrinsically linked to nature. Those who participate in this belief do so through observing certain rituals and customs and traditions, all of which are aimed at recognizing that the physical world, as well as the spiritual, are inherently connected to each other, beyond time and beyond location, in life and after death. You probably think that I'm talking about African spirituality. Nope, I'm not. Greetings, everyone. Welcome to episode 28 of The Journey Kwantu. I am proud to announce that the podcast is now an award-winning podcast thanks to Afrobloggers, which is a web-based hub that promotes, educates, and celebrates African content creators. Thank you to every single one of you who have ever taken time to listen to this podcast and to share this work with others as well. It really, really means everything to us. Now, the religion that I have just described is actually an ancient Japanese belief called Shinto, which can be traced back to thousands and thousands of years ago. The resemblance between Shinto and African spirituality is actually quite extensive if you really look into it. In fact, many indigenous belief systems are quite similar, even though the people who participate in them from around the world have never really met. And this does lead you to wonder if this means that all indigenous people are actually practicing one religion. The world we live in today is increasingly global. Through the internet, there are virtually no boundaries stopping us from being influenced by many other beliefs and religions from around the world. And you can hear this in the language that we use when we use phrases like meditation, like vibrating higher, chakra hands, and Mercury retrograde, and other terms that I find sometimes very, very confusing. So, in this episode, what I would like to know is it possible to practice different spiritual beliefs at the same time, and what that would do for our spiritual journey? So, I hooked up with Mkhulu Makhanya, who has a wealth of knowledge around different beliefs around the world, and he'll be helping us break down this very topic. So I think we are at an age, at a point where we, whether consciously or unconsciously, we are dabbling in spirituality, you know.
Yeah.
And I think a big part of, I can say that we've allowed ourselves to dabble, is that personally I believe because so many of us come from a Christian background, and for all manner of reasons, we left, at the very least, the church, right?
Yeah.
And in doing so, we crossed a threshold whereby we are aware that we can change, or we can cross over, right? Because when we were growing up, the idea of not being Christian was unheard of, right? So we have jumped over that hurdle of you can only be this, and if you're not this, then you are not only Christian, but you don't believe in God.
Yeah,
you know. So that has given us the fact that we have crossed over that line, yet we still feel that we are practicing spirituality, has sort of then opened the door to, if I can jump over this, I can also jump over that.
Yeah.
So for some of us, we've crossed from Christianity into African spirituality,
sure.
And some are balancing both, whereas some have completely left Christianity and only predominantly practicing African spirituality. But then as we are learning, as we're growing, as you know, we're getting in touch with the rest of the world, we are getting in touch with other beliefs as well, you know. So we are then bringing into our personal journeys pieces of other things, you know. So I want to understand what that will potentially do for a person, right? Sure. Where it would essentially lead to.
Yeah.
But before we get there, I want to sort of lay the groundwork first and ask, you know, the nature of spirituality, you know, and is it important to define what spirituality is? The reason I say that is because when it comes to spirituality, it is very easy to fall into language,
sure.
where we end up just using a lot of language, a lot of things, that a lot of terminology and phrases that don't necessarily mean anything, and they don't necessarily translate into anything.
Yeah.
So, because if you say, you know, ask a person, you know, do you practice spirituality, there's a whole world of things that you could say without saying anything.
Yeah.
So, in your understanding, in your view, is it important to define what spirituality is?
Greetings, Bravi. Good to see you.
Togoza, I'm
cool. Togoza. It's always a pleasure to sit down for these chats. Thank you so much for having me. Greetings to your listeners as well. Congratulations on your award.
Thank you.
You did very well for yourself, for your family, and for your followers at large. So we are really, really, really honored to be associated with an award-winning podcast.
Yes.
So thank you so much for that. I think it's important to define ourselves. As an individualism, Kulumakanya, it's important for me to attach a definition to myself. It's important to attach a definition to my work. If I'm going to go about practicing spirituality, it's important for me to define what is it that I'm doing, what is it that I'm up to. Strictly speaking, spirituality is an expression of what you believe in. Spirituality is beliefs in action, or in practice. So you have to be able to make sense of your actions and what you're doing. And I think that with the dawn of the awakening, when we realize the limitation of religion, for example, we got into the practice of not wanting to define, because we saw definition as some form of limitation or a dogmatic thing to do. But definition allows you to locate yourself at that particular time. It does not mean that one needs to be stuck within that time frame or be stuck within that definition. Definition can evolve. definition can take any shape based on what you seek to experience, how you seek to experience it, and what your goal could be given that particular experience at that time. So for me, yes, we need to define spirituality. We need to know what you're up to so that we can be able to say, Umangabe, your goal, for example, it is to heal. I saw the other day you posted something about poverty, poverty consciousness. If, for example, your goal is to heal your poverty consciousness through spirituality, how do you define the process? What is the formula of going about doing that? We need to be able to say, but in the way that you are going about trying to heal your positive your poverty consciousness, you're not going to win, or you are going to win. You are going to take 4 months if you take that approach. You're going to take 4 years if you take that approach. That actually might take you forever in, based on the approach that you're taking. So we have to be able to add parameters, indicators in your attempts to achieve your goal of healing whatever that you choose to heal or experience.
Okay. All right. Okay. I need to remember some points because you've said a lot that I want to come back to, especially about parameters, guidelines, so to say. So in the whole realm of spirituality in relation to us, does spirituality exist for us? Does the spiritual realm exist for us? And by us, I mean as human beings, right? When the creator, whatever you called him, her, it, they, when they created human beings, did they also create spirituality for us, or does spirituality function with or without us?
That's a good question. Spirituality exists for us, through us, and by us, you know. We then give spirituality different terms based on your faculty, based on where you are born, for example. Politicians are practicing spirituality in what they're doing, making use of words, sound, in order to shape reality in a particular way. Scientists are doing spirituality, and instead of calling it God, they would call it maybe an atom, or instead of calling it metaphysicians will call it the universe instead of calling it God. Religion will call it God instead of calling it an atomic expression or experience, or you know, and so forth. So it's different terminologies that we attach to this experience of trying to make sense of life, or trying to achieve a particular goal. You know, even in spirituality, the principle of hard work applies as compared to someone in the academic space, for example, who's studying towards a degree. You're not going to meditate once and the fruits of meditations are there already. You're not going to pray once and the fruits of the prayer are there already. So the principle of honoring time, of the principle of repetition, is also found in spirituality, in as much as you won't read a book once, go and start, write an exam. You would have to read it a couple of times, repetition, in order for you to be ready for your exam. So all these principles apply across the spectrum of life. But because spirituality, as it relates to the evolution of consciousness, the empowerment of consciousness, healing of the of the person, of the consciousness, of the body, because it is seen as something that is far more noble than, and of course that we took from religion, to say that people who pursue, for example, God or spiritual growth are seen as better. So then that's how it then became better. But essentially, we are all up to something, whether it's a search for healing, for solutions, for making ourselves better, fixing relationships, trying to sleep with someone. Whatever thing that you're pursuing, you are going to employ or make use of a spiritual principle.
Okay. I want us to dig a bit deeper into that. Here's what I want to understand, right? You know how in nature, there's no animal that's better than any animal, right? Whether it's an ant or a lion or, you know, outside of human beings, that everything is necessary in its own way. So when the God created spirituality, and you say created, Luana, I get that it's a tricky thing to say, because God is spirituality, you know. So when he created the spiritual realm, let me put it that way, was he doing it with us in mind to say, I'm going to have human beings, and for human beings to function, they're going to need the spiritual realm? Or was it a situation of, this is a spiritual realm, and we are just one aspect of it, like a lion is one aspect of nature, a giraffe is one aspect of nature, a bird is one aspect of nature. Because from a religious point of view, like back in the day when they thought that the earth was the center of the universe, we kind of believe that we are pivotal aspects of spirituality. Like we are a very, very crucial point of spirituality. Are we a crucial part of spirituality? Or are we just one aspect out of a whole ecosystem of existence?
So God created spirituality because God had God has an eternal curiosity. And God wants to experience God's self. And this curiosity got to a point where God wondered to himself whether God can experience God's self awares and unawares. For example, can you sit here and have a portion of your spirit existing in the living room doing what it is doing? When you choose to be aware of it, you will be aware of it. When you choose to be not aware of it and really not be aware of it, and have that part of your consciousness exist by being conscious of itself, conscious of the principles of life, conscious of its surroundings, come to a point where it realizes that it's actually a part of you. And it realizes that it actually has the capacity, this the same capacity as you do, to repeat the act of recreating itself. And really, that's how we got to be here. Because the first course says, I have this curiosity of experiencing myself as more than this. It is for this reason that beings or part of the spirit of God that have evolved and evolved, you know, they grew to a point of being called creator gods themselves. And they were given rights to also create their own universes. You see that. So in as much as we know of one heaven, there's actually more. In as much as we know of one world, some of us know of one world, there are actually many worlds. In as much as we know of one God, there are many gods. You see that. And all the gods have been given the rights to go and create your own world.
And you say one God, you mean the one that we define as the creator, not necessarily individual gods.
Yes, the supreme.
Yes.
Yeah.
So there isn't just one of him or it.
So there's the supreme, as it were. And then there's gods that come after the supreme.
Okay.
Waban. So the hierarchy, if I can just quickly rush through it, is that there's then the major gods, mm-hmm. and then you would get probably what you would call the secondary gods and the lower gods, mm-hmm. in that in that order. Sorry. So yeah, we were then given these rights to experience ourselves as gods. So spirituality then is created as an expression of God's self seeking to experience God's self. Mm-hmm. And are we the pivotal, is it correct to say the last born or the spoiled bread, the spirituality?
Okay.
That is not true. The lion is as important as you are. Mm-hmm. The difference between you and the lion is that you have free will, but that does not make you better, mm-hmm. because you will notice that when gods choose to, for example, walk the earth, you know, they would take up faces of animals, human bodies. Mm-hmm. The current god I've taken interest in is the god Merlin, for example, mm-hmm. Pan, mm-hmm. who has a head of a goat, mm-hmm. feet of a goat, and a mm-hmm. body of a man. Mm-hmm. So you can see that that merging with the animal world to say none is better, mm-hmm. But we are all part of the expression of the first cause. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So when you mention free will within spirituality or as a capacity of human beings, in many ways from religion, we are told that that is something that is fundamentally important. Mm. As human beings, it's something that is important in the sense that that aspect of free will seems to set us apart, mm. in many ways, because you know the Bible would say that even angels don't have free will. Mm. You know, we are the only ones who have free will. Mm. So, from what you're saying, I'm starting to think that the aspect, our capacity to have free will, is why human beings were created. So that this aspect of free will channels spirituality in a way that I'm assuming that in other realms that's not the case. Mm. So it is important for spirit to function through a channel that has free will, because that offers certain experiences. I won't say benefits, but it offers certain experiences that spirit needs or believes is necessary in his progression, whereas in other realms they might not have free will, they might have something else that we probably can't even grasp what that thing is, you know. But then free will is the root principle of humanity. Sure. Spirit wants to experience through us, yeah. and that is why we specifically as human beings were created, so that spirit can experience of the many things that spirit wants to experience, needs to experience, whatever the reasoning is.
Sure.
But this is our particular reason within the spiritual ecosystem. Mm-hmm. We offer free will.
Sure. Sure. That is correct. And maybe it's also worth adding to say that we don't realize how much, in fact, we don't know, you know, we don't know how much of the history of human beings has been stolen and being kept a secret somewhere. Because naturally, in the absence of your history, you can't make sense of your reality, you can't make sense of yourself and your future. Mm. And I think that's one of the reasons why we're having this conversation. We are trying to give meaning to our existence. Mm. But one of our standing challenges as human beings is trying to remember, in the absence of books and teachers, if you and I are based, you know, Soweto, Kasi, or suburb somewhere, ordinary people, and we don't have access to a book or a teacher now that can tell us what's really happening? Mm. We need to learn to meditate in order to remember. Mm. we need to ask the correct questions in our prayers.
Mm.
When you pahla, when you pray, you need to be able to ask God, I am going to come back to your question about free will and what you want us to reflect on, but I just feel as though it's important to mention that.
Mm.
Human beings are a big experiment. You know, we are sheep. It is not by accident that you make use of 10% of your brain. What happens to the rest of the 90? So the gods of light, the gods of darkness, planets, Mars, Jupiter, are gods. They all make use of our brains to express themselves, you see. And we are just these shells, as it were, who are being experimented upon. But that entire experience, an experiment, does not take away the fact that you can say to yourself, I don't want to associate myself with the gods of darkness. I actually want to associate myself with the gods of light. They are the ones that I want. They must have a major influence upon my life. And this is the direction I would like to take. And I realize that I can't do it alone. Therefore, I need to partner with races that are interested in advancing my life in this particular direction. You know what? In fact, I want to destroy my life. And I'm going to partner with gods of darkness, with angels of darkness to help me. You understand? So if, for example, even now, you can just keep quiet. Keep quiet. Try to meditate. Breathe in, breathe out. You'll notice you're going to start having thoughts that you don't know where they come from. Feelings that you can't locate. Whose source you can't locate. And that's why every teacher of spirituality emphasizes knowledge of self or awareness of self, so that you are able to tell apart. This is the energy I can work with. This is an energy that I cannot work with. But unfortunately, because we don't have the book, we don't have the map, we don't have the awareness, most of us, in fact, majority of, don't know what's happening to us and with us. So I'm happy that you're bringing up free will as an important aspect of our existence in order to make use of free will and choice to liberate ourselves from whatever form of enslavement, suffering that we are going through.
Okay. I almost feel like there's going to need to be a part two to this, because I have a lot of questions. And part three.
Isn't this a part two?
Yes, this is part two, actually. Yes, yeah. You're right. This is a part two.
Yeah.
So you mentioned gods, you mentioned the planets, you know, the gods of light, the gods of whatever. And in the previous episode, we sort of spoke about how different peoples then came to have different beliefs, you know. But what I want to reflect on is my, can I choose what kind of spirituality affects me?
Absolutely.
Because you said that, you know, there's within my being or through my being, there's lots of players involved, each within their, with their own views and their own plans, right? So as we grow up believing that, or rather we've convinced ourselves that I am a black person, I'm an African, I practice African spirituality.
Yes.
And by that, I'm saying that I'm only affected by beings within that sphere, right? Can I choose that actually, no, I don't want to be affected by demon, right? Actually, I want to be affected only by the planetary gods. You know, your is that a choice that I can make? And I say that because for most of us, we don't have what we believe to be a direct link to spirituality in that, you know, I don't see people, I don't hear voices, I don't have visions, you know. So most of us, we can't say that I'm practicing this and I have concrete evidence that I function within this realm. Mm. You know what I mean? Mm. We look out for things that may or may not happen in our lives as confirmation for certain things. You know, I wanted this, maybe I wanted a job, I got a job.
Mm.
I can't say without a shadow of a doubt that who made that job happen.
Sure.
It could have been someone else.
Sure.
You know, so can I choose, can I move between realms or lanes to say, actually, I don't want to practice African spirituality anymore.
Yeah.
I really want to go into Buddhism and I'm going to be affected by that only, or I'm going to practice whatever else and I'm only going to, can I make that choice and for that choice to be in effect within the spiritual realm? Well, if I say I don't want to work with Badimu, will they leave me alone? That's my question.
I will first start by saying that you have a choice to do that, to decide. But you don't have a right to.
As in, that decision will not necessarily be respected.
Yeah. And I'll tell you why.
Mm.
Because existence is governed by laws. If you're going to jump off a building now, the law of gravity is going to catch up with you. You're going to die. If you drink poison, you're going to die. Those are the laws. So you can choose to drink the poison, you can choose to jump off the building. You have you have a choice to do that. But if you want to say you have a right to live, on what basis do you have the right to live after jumping off a building? Does that make sense? So spirituality then seeks to take you on a journey of being aware of the laws and how they work. And how then you can manipulate the laws or work with the laws in order to create the experience that you want. If your son is going to decide he's going to walk out, how old is your son now?
He's 13.
If your son is going to decide he's going to walk out of the house and is going to become independent and call himself a man, walks out that gate, leaves the home without a plan, but only anger, the nature will ensure that, the nature and law will ensure that he turns out to be what a rebel that doesn't honor the law of being led by parents does, if that makes sense. So if you're going to choose to be without Badimu, there's obviously going to be consequences based on law.
Because that's what I was born into.
You see that?
Okay.
But also because that's what governs life. Black people are the only race that has issues with ancestors. Jewish people honor ancestors, Muslim people honor ancestors, white people honor ancestors. It's just the concept of modernity that seeks to strip people of their essence, that creates a culture of neglecting these practices. If you go to modern China today, they behave like we behave. You know, they're not interested in ancestors. They just want to do 9 to 5, get that paycheck, and then buy a house, buy a car, and live that life. So that modern thing or modernity, culture of modernity, is just not limited to us, but it is being entrenched all across the world. But indigenous Africa, indigenous Chinese, indigenous Jewish people, everyone honors their ancestors, because no God is going to take you seriously if you don't take seriously your own blood. You see? So njengobuhleli lana, this ancestor that you normally refer to as an irritating ancestor or idlozelihluphayo, even when I was twasing, my question was, how do you know that is not, that's not you? A part of, like we were saying in the beginning, a part of your consciousness that came back as Vosi. In your past lifetime, you were Mike. There's things that you needed that you couldn't achieve. You need to sort them out, and you reincarnate as Vosi. And little zolukolbiza, what if it's you? I'm not sure if that makes sense.
Totally.
In a context of reincarnation. Yeah, one. As Mike, you lived, you had a bad relationship with your mom and until you died of stress. But no, you can't sit here because you've got issues. And you're like, okay, I'll take up another consciousness. I'll take up another lifetime as Vusi. And then you come as Vusi. As Vusi, you start having problems with your mom. Why? Because it's encoded in your DNA, soul genetics, consciousness genetics. You bring in the previous information, you recreate the same experience in order to grow from that. And then then another consciousness of yours comes out, who's called Mike. And then he wants to sort out this thing. And then, because Asazi, we separate Mike from you. And we say, no, Aksu Mike. Mike is some old man who lived where he has his own story. What if that guy is you? And you want to neglect that guy, upindele zulwini, as an incomplete being. And that is the cycle that we are currently stuck in. We are obsessed with suffering, obsessed with death. And the gods are saying, stop this thing of yours. You can be immortal, you can live forever, you can live every day, you can be happy. Asifuni leyonto. And because singayifuni, then the other players in the game, the gods of darkness, they're like, okay, we can benefit from this ignorance. Create a culture where we can take these people, make them our slaves, work in our companies, exploit them, take their life force. And they do that because we reject life.
So where does the functionality of our free will then come in that scenario where I have an individual contract with myself about what it is, as you say, you know, there's certain things I wanted to achieve as a person, and or as you say, maybe I want to destroy myself and not experience that. But when you say like us as a people, it seems that there is some kind of a collective contract of self-destruction that we have signed up to.
Sure.
But it can't be that all of us as a race, and it's difficult to dispute that, because if you look at throughout Africa, it's difficult to say that Africa is on a collective rise. It's not. That much is very clear, you know. Is it because we have been taken advantage of, or is it because this is what we wanted to go through collectively?
Yeah. So here's my view, Bravi. I could be wrong. Look at all the continents in the world. Europe, and you are called, well, first world class, second world class, third world country, you know? And then bonga bantu abahlala kule indawo, they have a similar consciousness. You know, people that stay in the West, their inclination is towards getting rich and making money, and they're billionaires. So much so that Trevor Noah left Africa, go to America, he gets there, he's a billionaire. And he's hanging with people with that type of consciousness. Charlize Theron went there. That girl from Val, Miss Pet, went there. When their consciousness changed, it no longer resonated with Africa, for example. People who believe in, who are futuristic, want to invent things, want to take things forward, found in China, Japan, Asia, people who have enhanced levels of intelligence are found there. People who suffer in India, Africa, and then rich people look at Africa and think, but these people are sleeping and they're powerless. Why don't we just put them cheap labor? They must dig for us, give us the gold and then tin, and America will get richer, for example. So my thing is, I don't know where I get this from. This is just a crazy idea that I have. I could be wrong. My idea is, your consciousness will direct you to where you are born in the world. So the more you believe you don't deserve, you are suffer, you are going to be born in India, you are going to be born in Africa. And your choice, I mean your work to evolve, becomes greater, for example, compared to a person in America. Because without money, you can't evolve. You know, you can't buy a better car, you can't buy I mean, I have clients here who are struggling so much that umuntu akana imali yokuthenga imbuzi to have a Thanksgiving. If akafuna ukuhlaba imbuzi to buy that meat ke to have a Thanksgiving. So we don't even have the means that will actually, you know, give you that step for your life to become better. So labafana laba bathola ama distinction 100 lab that we were reading about. And you check the kind of families they grew up in. Kona manje bathola ama bazari, those parents are not going to spend anything. Bayapi? America. They're going to study there.
Does it then imply that the Western world is more spiritually evolved?
Spiritually, Western world, no. They are more economically evolved, but spiritually not. Yeah, but that's why all these teachers go to America to teach spirituality there. Because spiritually, no, they are not evolved.
Because you don't have to worry about the basics. You have more time to dedicate.
Yeah. And then when you go to India and Africa, it's the other extreme. People are more concerned about spirituality and God. They don't want money. When you need both. We are born learned.
So that's why it sort of, in some ways, religion in on the continent made us choose between money and God.
Yes.
Because somehow we can't have both.
You understand what I mean? But what's the use of being godly and you don't have a house? You are 34. You stay at home. Parents are bazalwane. You can't even have your own spirituality. I was a kulega because mom is going to say, no, that's not how we pray in church. You can't have umsebenzi wamadlozi because bazat no, thina like us in the sea. You know? You can't follow a process that's going to help your life become better. You see that? So what you're asking, it's a question that seeks to take our spiritual. It's a futuristic thing, Mfethu. Ukuthi, you are not going to survive if you just want to be mzalwane. It's not going to work. If you just want to be African, it's not going to work. Life is much more dynamic. I normally say to people, gods don't have a religion. You see that? Gods are just interested in principles that are going to make life happen for you. I used to be Methodist and I would ask, why are Baba about to turn about to go I'm a jazzy? I'm a punch.
Just the uniform.
In summer.
I've always wanted to wear that. Or not a bike. Is it? Yeah, and it seems like it goes with Mkaba. You can't.
Yeah. You can't tell Mkaba, is it? You know? And I'm like, but what happened to our connection with nature? You know, ukuthi uma kubanda siyaqhoka because it's cold. Common sense. Uma kushisa, we wear light stuff in order for, you know, air to flow because we are shisa. But religion has disconnected us from nature so much that it just doesn't make sense for you to walk into a church on a hot summer's day, 38 degrees ngebhanje. You know, and it doesn't make sense. So the gods want you to be able to be cognizant of such small things. It's hot. I can't wear ibhanje. You see that? So, but because you have to enslave these people must work for you. These people must not know the true essence of their story and who they are. Take them to church, mislead them, and then they will forever be sleeping until they wake up.
Which is what, 5 lifetimes, 10,000 years from now.
There we go.
That one just depresses me. Okay. Right. So in does it, if outside of the human experience there is no religion, right?
There's no religion. There's just principles of life that work and that don't work.
Okay, so then it sort of brings me back to the question that I asked about whether or not you can choose what spiritual experience to have.
Sure, right? Absolutely.
And you spoke about meditation, right? And then you spoke about prayer. Then you spoke about ukpal. So I want to take those three principles or practices. Because for me, they are the simplest way to explain what this particular topic is about can you merge different beliefs together, right? and why I was avoiding the issue of semantics with language, right? On the surface of it, where we are now as people, we can generally agree that ukuphahla, prayer and meditation are the same thing in some way.
Mm.
But in practice, you know, linguistically we can say that it's the same thing. But in practice, in how we have come to understand them off the top of our heads, you pray to God, ukuphahla for the ancestors, and you meditate for, at the very least, for your mental health.
Mm.
Right. Mm. But we somehow believe that they are the same thing.
Mm.
Is this an example of merging different practices into one thing? Because we say ukuphahla is to meditate, we say ukuphahla is to pray, but is it? You know, because and I'll tell you why. Let's say ukuphahla, right? From my understanding, the African historical understanding of God is that Africans do believe in God, but God is very far away, right? God, and not far away in the sense of distance, but cognitively, God is far away, in that Africans acknowledge that you cannot comprehend God with your mind. You can't even begin to imagine the essence of what God is. So hence we have like the gods who will then be, because they then come in a human form. You know, they come in a human structure. So when we imagine gods, we imagine people. We don't imagine aliens. We don't imagine, you know, ethereal beings. We imagine people that we know, or human beings that we understand, right? So that's why when we say rapatla, is because we understand that I'm not necessarily talking to God, but I'm talking to an intermediary, right? So it's not to pray. Whereas in prayer, our understanding is that you go straight to God. There's no one in between that you're talking to, right? And then with meditation, if you have a slight understanding of Buddhism, you know that God doesn't exist, right? So that's the essence of it. We believe that these three things are the same practice, but they're actually not. And for me, and I say this because this is something that I've a dilemma that I find for myself, in that I'm very much drawn to Buddhism. In some ways, it's a bit weird, you know, but there are aspects of it that I do believe enhance, especially meditation, and meditation by the definition of being able to sit still and be create an awareness for your experience, right? So when it's time for emsamo, I kind of don't know which one I'm doing.
Okay.
You know what I mean? And I want to know, is there a danger in that? Am I end up, if I figure emsamo and I start meditating, am I confusing badimu bakwagai? You know, when you know, you start the miracle prayers, they're like,
what are you doing?
What language are you talking? You know what I mean? Yeah. Do you end up, or when you start praying, how do you then prioritize where God is, you know what I mean? I know it's a complex question, but so I want to understand that in are we in this particular example, are we confusing things that should not be confused? Or is there a way in which the spiritual realm can say, it doesn't matter what you're doing, we get it?
So I think that speaks to the sad state of affairs where we don't know what. Okay, firstly, there's a need for us to clean up and tidy up our spirituality or our spiritual practices. And that speaks to spiritual education that we need to understand how to meditation, for example. And it's also correct to ask, when did we start meditating and for what purpose? And why do we need to meditate? I think those are the practical questions we need to ask. Secondly, I mean, what you are mentioning, the technology, it's a technology that seeks to achieve a particular goal. But I think it's also correct, Hori. because God is that grand, there has to be a way in which we access his essence and accessing his essence through prayer, meditation, upahla, it's fine. But I think just like a knife, you know, you can use a knife to kill someone, you can use the knife to peel your veggies so that we can be able to enjoy our food. I think these technologies, they are like a knife. We can use them for good purposes and for bad purposes. And I think that's true of anything in existence, you know. In as much as Kiduzimo, I can do good, I can do bad. There are negative prayers where you wish someone bad and it manifests, you know. There are positive prayers where you wish someone life and it happens. But for me, that speaks to the sad state of affairs in relation to spirituality. And I think what increases the frustration and the chaos is because we think that spirituality is fluid. It can be anything, it can go either way. There isn't a definite way of making use of a particular technology or tool so that it works. So that for me also speaks to the current pain that I'm experiencing around African people and African spirituality, the way that we want to keep people out, you know. Firstly, with Rastata Garuna, you know, we call each other bo Facebook chakra hands, nene nazga kulu, amadluza awasebenzi kanjalo, you know. There's this thing of keeping people out. Stop. That's not how it works. In fact, go back to your churches because ne mosha lende amadluza. Bese, it gets to a point where white people twasa. And we're like, no, we don't want white people here. This is our spirituality.
Which laws are you twisting in the Which, first place?
Yeah, because you're an oppressor. Wena. You came here by sheep. In fact, go away. You know what I mean? So I'm not saying we shouldn't be responsible custodians of these practices. But we need to understand that, and I think we said this in our first podcast, that we are more than just black. We are more than just African people. Okay? When the gods help the creator in the lives of humanity, they take different shapes and forms. When you go to Egypt, the goddess Heteru. When she goes to Nigeria, she's known as Oshun. It is the same essence. When she goes to India, she carries a different name. But the goddess has to take an identity that the people will be able to identify with. But it is the same essence. Esther, Isis is the same consciousness. It's the same being. But Haliko Griki, she's called something else. That's why I'm saying gods don't have a religion. And when the god appears in Africa, for example, akirwa lebella hore really ha ke na ka motlung ka mo TV haispani rente khale sa patalwe, things are not right. The god needs to put in principles in place that are going to help heal this context. Once that is done, life goes on. When a new context comes in, we need to know what principle to apply. But unfortunately, we create what is called culture and tradition, and we take something from 1940 that is irrelevant in our time. I'm not saying that all principles and cultural tradition are useless, but there are those that are useless, and that will require
even dangerous,
right? That will require our intelligence, our discernment to say good lentole haisa sebenzi. It was done at a particular time for a particular purpose, but kona manje it doesn't work. We have one Leon. So there's a lot of chaos, there's a lot of confusion, there's a lot of mess around spiritual practices, rituals, and technologies that are just not helpful.
Are we, in those of us who are now, I can say, exploring, are we doing us ourselves a favor, or are we potentially causing more chaos for ourselves when we then start pulling in different aspects? Because you know, now it's Mercury in retrograde. You know, it's your this sun in that moon, and it's that, you know.
You love Tabaya, yeah. Mercury retrograde, it makes me laugh.
I have no idea what that means. Like, I have absolutely no idea what Mercury in retrograde means. And I think because I don't want to know, I think that's the thing. I actually don't want to know because I feel like it's enough.
I know
there's enough to deal with.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
So are we? And this is, I don't even know what the question is, but I feel like when we start partaking in those things, are we? Does it help? Does it help to broaden my spiritual horizon and start being aware of what happens when the moon does this, or when the planets do this? Yeah. Does it actually help?
Look, Pravi, you know, I'm worried about the squeaky sound of this chair. I hope it won't be picked up by the machine. Look, Pravi, I think it's what you want to experience, bro. Where you want to see your spirituality going.
Mm.
But my only fear and concern with modernity is that people don't want to read, and people don't want to find proper training. People want to follow four astrologers. After the four astrologers, and then you're going to subscribe to probably two channels on YouTube and follow these people and watch these things over 6 months. And then as of that 6 months, you start posting about Mercury retrograde. And you get a nice name for yourself, like Galactic Sensei. And then you want a following. But you don't have training. And I want to tell you, Hori, for as long as you don't have a mentor in spirituality, a spiritual mentor, you are lost. It's like you're a tourist going to China, getting off a plane and staring at Ma China, not knowing where... Beijing. You won't know where Beijing is. You need a tour guide. You need someone to take you around China. So unfortunately, people jump into spirituality, boom, read a couple of posts, go home, patla. And I mean, your ancestors can see when you patla, when you're really patling and when you're experimenting, or when you're just taking chances. The universe is not dumb. So it's going to be an absolutely difficult thing if you want to be on a spiritual path without a teacher, without a mentor.
But, and I've covered this in an episode with having a spiritual mentor. And it to put it simply, it's a treacherous endeavor.
It is.
Finding a spiritual mentor. Because like, even now, let's just take... the situation for an example. You know, I'm into African spirituality, and I buy into, I don't even know what that means. I'm a person, I'm into African spirituality, you know, I don't feel religion anymore. I want to learn. And when I say African spirituality, it's not clear even to me what I mean. It's not clear even to me what I mean. About Bayatwasa. I don't want to go that route. Whether I'm meant to or not, I don't want to do it. Sure. That's, you know. And then the question is, what kind of spiritual mentor am I actually looking for? Because I know people online. I know 100 people online. I know people on Instagram. You know, there's Koko Banbani, there's Mkulu Banbani, there's Nkhono, you know. And then there are the in-betweener people who are not, you know, they're not anything, but they seem to know a lot. You know, there are people with podcasts out there, but you don't know, like, you know, it's not clear where this, but you know, I like how this person talks. Sometimes I even like how they look. You know what I mean? So it's like when you want to then fortify your journey to give it a strong foundation, my challenge is that I don't even know who I'm looking for. Because it's a situation where, okay, fine, I'll start following this person. And this is generally how we convince ourselves that we have a mentor. You know, I'm going to find Mkulu online. I'm going to find Gogo on the YouTube. And I'm going to follow everything that they say. Now Mkulu is my mentor, whether they know it or not.
Yeah.
Right? Because Mkulu is in Midrand, I'm in Eastern Cape.
Mm.
You know, Eastern Cape, Konamatrich, I'm not feeling them, you know, because they are backwards, you know, old and whatever, you know. So how then do I figure out what kind of mentor I should have? And how long should I stick with them for? Because I can talk to you for some time.
Yeah.
But then I heard this other Gogo talking about Mercury in retrograde, and you're not talking about it. So I feel like I also want to get into, you know, how do I embark on that process of getting a mentor when there's such a vast amount of directions to take?
Yeah. The first thing we need to understand is that God exists in the heart.
Mm-hmm.
And ancestors exist in your blood.
Mm-hmm.
All these things that we are doing on the external are an attempt of trying to make sense of what's really happening on the inside.
Mm-hmm.
So my advice would be, and this is one of the things that I'm going to do a brother's live video on Facebook. Sit with yourself and ask yourself, where do I lack? Which area of my life do I feel needs fixing? You have to be clear, self-aware, on your own body, in your own spirit, your own heart, in your own life. Okay, I need a job. Okay. In the olden days, you just wake up at 4, catch a bus to Joburg, get there, find a job. In the modern age, hey, that doesn't work. Either you need to be hooked up, you need to pasha, you need to, you know. So, how do I go about looking for a job? Then I'm going to talk to God about this. Then you say, the God that is in my heart, I need help and direction in relation to 1, 2, and 3. And then you wait. Do it every day until something happens. Because God is in the heart. God is in, ancestors are in the DNA.
So no consultation, no dream interpretations.
Before we even get there, Jengobo Shuguti, sometimes you are not aware of the kind of teacher that you're looking for.
Mm.
But the basis of that search needs to be self-awareness. I go, okay, I can see that there's chaos in my life. I'm struggling with healing pain, my back pain. I'm struggling with my neck pain, and I need someone who can help me. That's what you're going to say to God. Please help me find someone who's going to. And then that's your point of departure. If you want to get to know yourself by starting on the outside, you start in trouble. It won't work. It won't work. And that's where I see how healers are beginning to, sangomas and healers online are beginning to reflect that consciousness. Uguti, as healers, we all sound the same. We're all doing the same thing. Because the people that are sick are looking for the same thing.
Oh, okay.
Does it make sense to you?
Because everyone wants a job. Everyone needs money. And people isn't as hambikas. Life has gone stagnant for most people. People have lost their jobs. Single mothers struggling with kids. Men struggling with identity.
So we've realized that all you need is washo. Candle, cleansing, twasa, palaza, ubnyanga, isango. Those are the five things that we all emphasize. I'm not saying that these things don't work, and I'm not saying that these things shouldn't be part of our. These are the basics, right? Every physician has got injection in measure temperature, and those are the basics. What I'm saying is that we don't have healers that are showing us what their niche is. Gogo B, Gogo D, Gogo C, Gogo E and F. moba bega inishiyabo iyafana bonke. But you can see that people are beginning to align themselves according to the needs of the market. What is the market doing? The market is looking at each other. Oh, you don't have a job. No problem. Oh, no, probably that's probably the same thing with me. And then you call me and I ask you, you want to consult? Yes, what do you want to consult about? No, anginaspani, I suspect ukuthi ibloko yamadlozi. Because you heard ukuthi uvuse zakhe ziblokwe amadlozi. You see even the language we're using. And that speaks to the lack of self-awareness. Ukuthi inkinga ikuphi. And then, because as healers as well, we want a bench angithi ngaphandle, there has to be 12 people, 13 people, 100 people at a time abazothwasa. Uma befolile lana ngaphandle, you don't have time to listen to people. When someone walks in athi no, there are people who are born with entities from the dark worlds because he's been killing people from one lifetime to another. This thing that is torturing him has been with him since he was born. It's an entity from another planet, for example. You understand? So this lack of self-awareness, ukuzibuza ukuthi okay, mina njengomakhanya, what is my challenge? Oh no, I notice it. Okay. Ubaba, or you know, you trace your steps. I normally say, sing a bantu, in as much as we are the same, we are not the same. So as healers, we are supposed to be the same, yes, but we can't be the same. You can't have 100 gokos and everybody speaking about the same thing. We've even started stealing content from each other just because we can be, so that we can be relevant to the market.
Because you see what gets the numbers going.
You see what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not saying people shouldn't heal. I'm not saying people shouldn't use candles and use muti, shouldn't cleanse. Of course we need to cleanse. Can we please encourage people to be self-aware?
Are you saying, and this might be an ignorant question, but are you saying that there should be more healers talking about planetary gods and Egyptian gods and less about Nguni and Ndawo? And like, I know it sounds a bit, but I want to understand on a very basic level. Are you saying that's what, like, should we have more abogogo who are doing tarot card readings? You know, is that what should be happening?
I'm saying, if you and I, Bravi, but if you have a niche and I have a niche, we are not going to speak about Nguni the same way.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You'll discover Gutumguni was an abusive man, in as much as he was a gifted healer. But his human side made him an abusive person. Then my niche is, how do I then my calling is to focus on how do you heal idlozi that was an abusive person. When among an aligned dumbiniam untoling petty vangelile abuse and how to heal idlozile abuse, you don't drop your niche and try to be like me. No! When idlozilako was a farmer who knew how to summon spirits of the earth, how to read patterns of the weather, because usebenza ngani ngokwenza ngokubarking, you understand? Mang figa la pendumbiniako, and I see you've got paintings of clouds, air spirits, nan. I shouldn't now leave my thing of abusing it in order to rock my audience. It doesn't work like that. Because when you dedicate yourself to a niche and your path, then it becomes self-revealing. God takes you deeper into the mysteries, God, and that's how you find your niche. That's how you find your calling. Yes, this is. But unfortunately, we don't have the patience. Let me log on to a praving born gutiana upushan lamala. Yes, this is.
I think that now it almost complicates things even more, because first of all, you're saying that I need to go through some kind of process of self-reflection. And a very deep one, not just surface level. I really need to get to the core. And what will inevitably happen, from what I think, is that you're going to find yourself in a very, very, very unique position, right?
There we are.
Yes, but then you say, I need a mentor.
Yes.
I myself, I'm in an extremely niche, very, very, very particular. I've identified my particular gifts and the constellation of it.
Yeah.
And now I need to find someone who can relate to that.
Mm.
And the only people I know online is the five gogos who are doing the same thing.
Yeah.
I don't even know where to start. Because outside of the gogos doing the same thing, there's, you know, elders, guys, who wouldn't even know where to start with what I believe is my gift. So then what does a person do in that case? Because and what do you when I say what you find at the core is that you kind of do know you and I think it's better if I speak from my personal experience that after that self-reflection you find that my particular makeup, my spiritual makeup has aspects from different places.
Sure.
Right. I know that my spiritual makeup has moved through different continents and different times.
Yeah.
And I don't even know who I would go to say my spiritual makeup is actually made of different belief systems.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
There's this, there's that, there's Christianity, there's Buddhism, there's this, there's that, you know, there's Hindu, and then there's my particular gift.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
I feel like it would be so challenging then
to find. That's what we are here for. And that's what we don't want to do. Mm-hmm. Particularly when we do spirituality. We don't want to think.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to struggle.
Mm.
Well, Chris, that is, you're supposed to, I mean, yes, Bravine, there are times where I spend about 4 days sleeping 3 hours a day. Because I've been doing this work. It's 10 o'clock. I've got altar work. I need to be up at 3 a.m. for prayers.
Mm.
And then, okay, 3 a.m. I mean, I can't pray and just walk away. You have to pray and listen to your body. That takes about an hour to 45 minutes. You are so wide awake. Okay, wait for sleep. Papa writes, 5:15. Okay, we are lala leo 5:15. 9 o'clock, someone is going to come in for a consult. You understand?
Mm.
There are times where in a week, aslali, because we are asking questions. We are poking ourselves. We are challenging our thinking. We are pushing these rituals because we want to find the path.
Mm.
We are just, but people don't want to do that. People want to sleep. They're going to and my meditation, what did I pick up? And then they're going to press like and share.
Mm.
And then they call me. And start putting labels on me. What do you mean? I'm the light. I'm the same. No, I'm not. I'm struggling with my own life.
Mm.
You know, just yesterday I was saying, I'm not sure if you saw it, the thing about violence.
Mm.
How people are not supposed to be throwing violence on that. It's us struggling with our existence. It's supposed to be challenging. Mm. If you want something real, you must hustle for it.
I think the challenge with that is because I need a job now.
Yeah.
I need money now. Because what you're telling me is going to take 6 years. And even then, I don't even know what's going to happen at the end of that 6 years. You know, so I think we are stuck in that situation where there is deep spiritual work that needs to be done.
Then there's deep, the immediate.
Then there's the immediate, as in today, I don't know how I'm going to put food on the table today.
Yeah.
So then how do you then?
Yeah, balance the two. And I think that's what throws most of us in the spiritual space into depression depression and sadness.
And that's, I think, sorry, just to add on, and I think that's also what leads us to dabble.
Yeah.
Because I feel like if African spirituality is not working, maybe I should start paying more attention to the meditation. Yeah. I should get into that stuff.
Sure. But look, people don't care, man, about science, man. People just want in this event's eye. I can appreciate that based on the desperation. But look, anything that is worth having, it's worth the sacrifice. Well, Chris's. Pravi, Retsadi Workshop, man. We invite people. People don't want to come. Mm. People want free stuff. You know, in these workshops, we teach tools, we teach formulas. Things that are science-based, they don't even have to believe for this thing to work. It's like hukenya ki gomnyako and turn it. That doesn't depend on belief, you know? So people are not interested. People just want stuff that is on, that is for free on social media. When I tell people my consultation fee, I get people who say, but that's so little. We should be paying more. When I tell other people, like, it's because people feel in spirituality, in healing, things must just fall from the sky. It doesn't work like that. It is for that reason you are able to pray to God for 7 days and God doesn't respond. And someone comes, no, I'm cool with that thing. Yako is 7 days. I'm like, no. Who says Yako is 7 days? The fact that it worked for someone else in 7 days, it doesn't mean it's going to work for you in 7 days. Take it to 14. 14, it doesn't work. Take it to, you understand? I'm going to join fasting 40 days happy this year, ya Ramadan. This is going to be my 7th year ke fasta. I'm praying about the same thing. It hasn't been answered in the past 7 years. I'm not going to stop. I need to show God my commitment. Mutlo munka year 12, God is going to give me what I'm asking for. Nakamayaka determines that akilwe tola. I mean, some people fasted for 40 days, they got what I'm praying for. You know, people that I'm journeying with. And for me, it didn't come. But I didn't say, ha, lento le isebenzi, nan, 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 nan. God probably wants to see my commitment. Before I'm fun to hello. What if one guy and then I get big headed and I get arrogant and then I think I'm the best thing in town? You understand? So we don't want the element of effort when it comes to spirituality. We don't want to sit for that book and read it and understand it. No. We just want to follow Fusi, follow Kokos Banban, Mkulus Banban, and then go on YouTube, put it all together, and then rapuche social media presence. That's what we want. But it's a search. If you look at the spirituality of the Chinese, the monks, the kung fu, they wake up every day, they work. Kidi gata mula, ki meditation for hours. For someone to finally become a master or a grandmaster, they worked. It doesn't fall from the sky. And that's how you see how religion is a scam. Horka upahamisa litsoho fela hore I receive into tsa di tla change. It's not going to work.
Okay, it brings me to something very popular right now. Manifesting. Right. Now we are manifesting.
Another trend, yeah, manifest.
So, what is your opinion? What is your view on the manifesting trend? You're laughing.
Because it
seems simple, you know. You go on Twitter there, I manifested this, and you can see for some reason, for some people it seems to be working a lot, and for some people it seems to not be working at all.
No, man. That's keys. Look, tabayo manifesta khrot mane. Khale di man. Ich lead parents tar na khale di manifesta man. Libo mkhulu ba rora khale ba manifesta. Is this it? Is this it? Pop culture spirituality. Remember ka di phrase, you understand? Buzzwords and all of that. But look, it's good. It's good that we encourage people to manifest their desires. Also with manifestation, honali di mechanics study, you know, there's mechanisms, there's formulas, there's principles that govern that whole experience. But like I said, I see with some practitioners, when they teach manifestation, they leave out quite a big chunk of things, man, that are intrinsic, at least in my humble opinion, to the process of manifesting.
You things know? Like what?
Things like karma. Karma is spiritual history. Both you and I can and will manifest Mercedes-Benz, but based on our spiritual history, we are not going to manifest it at the same time unless you have a formula to transform or to change the energy that is in your spiritual history. So you and I can both get married, but we are not going to get married at the same time, and the quality of happiness in our relationship won't be the same based on karma, for example. unless you know how to change your karma. And these are the things that we teach. These are the things we teach in workshops, and people don't want to pitch because people buy a batlafela mooring. No, take a green candle and manifest. So
on a basic level, it works.
Yes, sir.
As in, manifesting works.
Yes, sir.
So my question is manifesting a component of spirituality or a function of the power of consciousness? Because a lot of the time when we talk about manifesting, we don't mention spirituality.
Mm-hmm.
There's an underlying understanding or implication or inference that manifestation, I'm manifesting through sheer willpower to bring something into being. Mm. God might or might not necessarily be involved, but this is me driving this car, pulling this rope to pull this thing into being. So is manifesting a product of spirituality or a function of consciousness, of the power of consciousness?
It's both.
Mm-hmm.
It's both.
Are you overriding spiritual entities when you're manifesting? Are you like jumping over them?
You can look two ways to manifest.
Mm-hmm.
If our goal is to manifest lifting a car, if unaldi maselwen igu kebab, akuna malat. I need to speak English. Eh? If you have the if you have the physical capacity to lift a car, by all means do it.
Mm-hmm.
Me, but you are size 32, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, me, I'm size 34. But you, Wena, size 32, if you see that you can't lift a car and you want to summon an entity to help you lift a car, by all means do that. Am I making sense? So manifestation is broad, as it were. That there are people, look, at age, how old was I when I predicted rain? 12. I was in standard 4, whatever. And I could see Thursday, I don't know how I did it. No one had trained me, I could see Thursday and it was raining. And I would say to someone, on Thursday it's going to rain. And indeed it rains, right? But now that I'm older, I use other methods to predict rain. You know, intuition, you know, maybe at a young age, intuition, I can success intuition.
Mm-hmm.
And now that kihudile and I've learned the word intuition, then you understand. So manifesting is as broad as that. That if you believe you can manifest a house without making use of a candle, without praying to God, by pure willpower and the power of the subconscious mind, do it. Works for you.
So, right now, where we are as a people, maybe just humanity in general, we want soft life, right?
Mm.
That is our belief that that is the entirety of why we are here.
Mm.
Whatever, regardless of our background, all of us believe that we are here for soft life, right? So, that is the purpose of what we believe should be our experience on earth, right? So if that is almost the entirety of why we believe we are here, then it puts practices such as manifestation at the core of our lives.
Correct.
Right? So does that mean that manifesting then becomes a spiritual belief itself?
Correct.
Like, it becomes its own religion.
It can.
Because if I believe I'm here for soft life and manifesting is the thing, and I think the reason we're drawn to manifesting is because it doesn't seem very complicated.
Yeah.
There's no badimo, there's no, you know, it's just sheer willpower.
Yeah.
Are we then turning manifesting into a religion? And is that right or is that wrong?
The law will then determine for us whether that is correct or not. But I know that there are people who have been praying for marriage, for example, and it hasn't been coming. And this is when you have to look closely to say, what is blocking this particular manifestation? And that's where it's going to get revealed to you. Your chances are, every time you're done praying for a partner or for marriage, you hang around people who believe hori men are a scam. So you sabotage your own. Why, but you start sabotaging your own prayers. The universe is not dumb. It records both. That when on the right, wakupa, on the left, you cancel what you ask for. And then go pili, you complain hori mudimo ha arabeli tapelo tsa hao. You can't be pregnant 9 months, no, 9 months, 8 months, you are due to give birth. It's not going to work. You are pregnant 8 months, you want to drive. You can't. Your tummy is too big. You can't be 8 months pregnant and then you eat this and that. You're going to harm the baby. But we don't take our prayers seriously enough for us to change our diet, change our company, change the things that we feed our consciousness in order to help the thing to manifest. Rezang, we start writing on hashtags.
So we're not aware of the mechanics of what it is that we ask.
No. And in that, on a personal level, I'm not going to teach mechanics on social media. I'm not. My calling is to come into the world and heal myself and heal others through scientific formulas. That's my calling. That's how I'm supposed to make a living. You understand? So I can't take what God gave me in order to bring meaning to my life and give it to people for free. It's not going to happen.
Like so, any engineer...
Right.
Architect won't build a building exactly. for free.
They won't build a house for you for free. But because church taught us our spirituality is for free, it's not for free. Because wakolekara. If we're not kolka turanda sharp, that's how you show your appreciation. But we are not going to... There are light workers, healers, who are passionate about doing things for free. And I see how poor they are. Fine. That's their choice. But no, I mean, I have to constantly I sacrifice hours of sleep, books we buy, you know, places we travel to. What's about Montlimo? I got to like a meditate. And then got to have more meditate. I go pitching, go to bed. The quality is not the same. So all these things that go into creating this thing that you say you need to heal yourself, it takes money to come up with a formula. People don't realize that. We just want stuff on Facebook Live and no, it's not going to happen.
Sure. So, can I, as a person, because we've spoken about different beliefs and whatever, do you believe that there is a golden thread across different religions?
Yes.
And why come we don't know that? Like, shouldn't that be the most popular religion
in the world right now? No, it's not going to work. Because once we realize that, then we become powerful and we become... you can't have slaves that are powerful.
So the reason we can't find that golden thread is purposeful?
Yes, it's on purpose. Okay. There are pastors who are employed by dark forces to preach nonsense on purpose. You're not ready to hear this, but I'm going to say it anyway. There are sangomas who are employed by dark forces to just put on amabayi and mislead the masses. So if wena, you are not big on self-awareness, any voice that comes up is going to be a voice to follow for you. Pray for yourself, meditate, speak to yourself. Uzhlonib. Then you'll be good.
Can I take different beliefs, different parts of different beliefs, and construct my own personal religion?
Yeah, yeah. I did that, I do that. And it's working for me. But I wouldn't preach it to someone else. But if someone were to ask me, how did you do this? If you feel or it doesn't work for you, it's like Facebook. I mean, when we do collective prayers and pray for this and this, and people started asking for Zulu stuff. I'm like, if you want a Zulu prayer, it is for you to go look for it. Mina, I didn't find it and it's not there. And I'm not saying I'm sitting back and watch things fall apart just because I don't want to pray in Latin. No, it's not going to work for me. So if you don't resonate with that, good for you. Don't do it. But Mina, I want a solution and I want a solution now. And if I find it in the language of Latin, I'm going to make use of Latin.
But then there comes a point where these beliefs then clash. Like if I go to church on Sunday morning and the previous night I was slaughtering.
Yes.
You know, and on Friday I went to a Reiki consultant. Isn't there a point where then the beliefs clash? Like now, this religion, this belief contradicts this very thing that you're doing in that.
What causes contradiction as not dogma, but doctrine? So if you're big on doctrine, but if you're big on your soul will tell you what it wants and you give what your soul wants. Simple as that. Friday you get a Reiki, soul feels better. Saturday you slaughter, you're touching on other realms of spirit. Sunday you go to church, you sit for the fila, molali scoop. Those hymns are nice, bro. It's only when the sermon starts that our salimnat. But otherwise, do what the... And that's for me, that's what creates the beauty of life. You know, when you walk into new contexts and new situations and you meet new people, the first attitude is humility. You are here to learn. Because you know that you lead this type of life where you just touch here and there and take formulas that work. Stuff that doesn't work, you leave. You'll be lucky if you grew up in a home where your parents had the formula and they pass it on to you. That's how white people live. They inherit formulas that work. That's what makes it good for them. Jews inherit formulas that work. Muslims, you know. Young people who didn't go to school, they drive Mercs because they just inherited that formula that works.
And they might not necessarily know it consciously.
They don't know it consciously. But because it you know, it's a, what's the English word? It's
ingrained
in them, you know. It's a way of life. What to know? Wake up at 3, say your prayers.
Because if you were to ask a white person, a white kid, so what's the formula?
Yeah.
They won't know.
They won't know. They'll just what do you mean? You just work hard. They're just gonna say that.
And then you get your expensive car.
Right? But no, man. A lot of black people have been working hard. They are sitting at home, got a degree. Component in our makeup.
Where do you see African spirituality in particular in like 50 years time? Like looking at the trajectory that we have right now, the awakening, as it is sometimes called.
I don't know why it saddens me. But we are going to become completely different people than we are now. Completely. I don't think I believe spirituality is going to exist, but African spirituality will be called something else. Because the integration of the globe would have reached an all-time high. It's going to be far advanced. That when you say African spirituality, you would be referring to something historical and not necessarily a present reality. Personal opinion and prophecy is that we are going to evolve, even like we won't look the way that we look now. You know, if you know Bodhi elves, you know elves, right? Bodhi Bomunda, Olibu, water spirits. We are literally going to take up a new physical makeup altogether. So you and I would both know each other as black, but we won't look the same based on what we believe, based on what we consume. You know, your accent is going to change. How you walk is going to change. I mean, you see it now. Mabantula walk differently because of what they believe, you know, to a guy who's learned. But in 50 years' time, that is just going to be at a all-time high. So a part of me is happy that what we call African spirituality is going to die. And we can finally work with essence so that how can I go China? It's Tao. How can I go Africa? Gintu. How can I go Kemet? Amen. It's the same thing. But at the time, when you say Ndu, it won't be a threat. When you say Tao, it won't be a threat. Because currently, when you say Tao, they're like, Yinlo, who's Fundisan? When you say Ndu, they're like, ah, Ucalile, black consciousness. It's a threat. But 50 years' time, when you say Amen, Amen Ta, we know, da, no, this one, he's talking about Ndu. You know, it will all be nicely integrated. And it will be called something else that I can't coin now.
That was cool.
That was a kiss.
The reality is that our yearning for a deeper understanding of spirituality is often driven by what we feel we need as people, more than wanting to understand what is really out there. As human beings, we have an inherent biological need for safety, for food and shelter, and above all, a deep-rooted desire for connection and community. We want to belong. For me, it is difficult to differentiate whether this desire to belong is a function mainly of our biological bodies or if it is a spiritual principle which we are born with as people. The reason why the question of practicing multiple beliefs is challenging is because it messes with, or rather, it feels as if it endangers our sense of belonging. What makes this situation even worse is that our religious upbringing has hammered into us an understanding that anything outside of our beliefs is not just wrong, but it is deeply evil. In talking to Mkhulu Makhanya, I've realized that I am more uncomfortable with this question than I actually initially thought I was. I feel that this is something that I really need to work on. So I think that what me and you should do is to learn more about these other spiritual beliefs that are out there. So for the next few weeks, we are going to be exploring spiritual practices that we may come across as we grow and interact with the world of spirituality, and hopefully we will be able to make a better and more informed decision about which directions our journey should go on. My name is Vusum Zinlandi. Thank you so much for joining me on yet another episode of The Journey Kwantu. I wish you light, I wish you courage, and I wish you all the very best on your journey. Makwande.